Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach Ministry, where your host is none other than Minister Sadie Elliott. I am so glad and elated that you have tuned in to this program today, and we have an exciting and wonderful topic from the Word of God today. So we will go in prayer, then we will go on with our topic, and I have a guest that's waiting in queue, and I will bring them on soon as we pray. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you today. We thank you for waking us up this morning to see a brand new morning that we've never seen before. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and honor this morning for giving us the activities of our limbs, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for able to share the good news with someone today that's listening in, someone that will call, dear Heavenly Father, that want to hear a word from the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you in advance for this broadcast, dear Heavenly Father. We give you praise in advance. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen and thank God. Good morning, Carla. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
I am blessed. And before we start our topic today, I'm going to just tell the radio audience a little about our topic today, justice. You know, when others wrong us, we cry out for justice. And when we wrong God, we cry out for mercy. Fortunately, God is merciful. But if we don't accept His merciful gift of salvation, we are subject to God's justice and the punishment for eternal death and separation from God. But until God sets up His eternal kingdom where perfect justice prevails, justice will continue to be needed here on earth. Both God's justice and to urge us toward His kingdom and law in order to keep anchored from ruling. But we must do well to learn some lessons about God's mercy today as we mete out justice. While justice provides law and order, mercy provides hope and forgiveness. God's formula for restoration. And today our topic is on justice. And our first scripture we are given today is coming from Exodus, the 23rd chapter and the 3rd verse. And it says, do not pass along false reports. and do not cooperate with evil people. Then the third thing, do not slander your testimony. And as I was reading that from the Word of God in the 15th chapter of Exodus, and I broke it down to, let me turn to it, to make sure I'm reading from the Word of God. That way, if anybody have the Bibles, they can follow along with me. And on Exodus, the 23rd chapter, and verse 1 to 3 say, do not pass along false report. Do not cooperate with evil people by telling lies on the witness stand. Second say, do not join a crowd that intend to do evil. When you are on the witness stand, do not be swayed in your testimony by the opponent of the majority. And third, do not slander your testimony in favor of a person just because that person is poor. So today we are talking about justice, even in the courtroom. And we have a caller on air that I like to bring her on. And she can tell you a little bit of what she's getting from justice this morning. Caller, you're now on the air.
I'm here.
Okay. Would you like to say something on that this morning on Exodus 23:1-3?
I think that we really need to be loving. You know, when you love people, you do, you know, not only what's right for yourself, but, you know, you do something that's right for somebody else. You know, you'll think more of the actions that you take as a whole that involves everyone versus, you know, thinking, okay, well, this is good for me, and so I'm going to do this without thinking about the consequences or the results of each action that we take that involves other people. Because when we do something, yeah, at the moment it may involve just us, but there's always like a ripple in a wave or a domino effect that it affects everybody. You know, even though we say, oh, you know, this is just me and, you know, this doesn't involve anybody else, that's a lie. I mean, it's a lie that we tell ourselves and it's a lie that we tell other people. The actions that we take always involve somebody else. You know, let's say, for instance, if we pay our rent, you know, the purpose of us paying the rent or the mortgage is to live in the house, you know, or to have the apartment. If we don't pay the rent, immediately it does affect just you for the moment, but the people who also live in the house with you will be evicted.
Yes, right.
You know, so although I can just say, hey, well, this doesn't affect anybody else, that may be true for the moment of me saying it, but the consequences, the results from what I did not do will have people who live in the house with me on the streets. Because I didn't pay the rent. You know, that may be your husband or your wife or your children, or maybe, you know, you had some family members that had hard times and they came and they live with you now. Well, if you don't pay the rent, where does everybody live?
That's so true. That
including
so
yourself,
true.
You know.
All right.
Where does everybody else live?
That is so true. And, you know, as I was reading this, here, why should we strive for justice? Do not pass along false report. So many people, even say, for example, for an accident, you saw how the accident occurred. I'm using that example. And you got it vivid in your mind. You write it down. But when you get to the adjuster or somebody asks you what happened, you give them a false report. That's not justice. And don't cooperate with evil people, because you come in contact with evil people and you know they're not right. Don't partake of the things that they're doing that you know is wrong. And for sure, don't slander your testimony. In court, and I work in the prison system, and so many times I hear many women say, you know, well, they didn't tell the truth, or they got on the witness stand and they say something totally different from out of character for which really it happened. So we have to strive for justice. And as I was reading in John 14:15, the Word of God said, if you love me, obey my commandment. That's what God was saying. He wants us to obey his commandment. We don't have to deviate from it. We can obey what he said in his word, because what he said in his word is right. That's what he left for us to go by. And I was reading, picking up a lot of scriptures on this, on justice. Also in Amos 5 and 24, I read, it said, I want to see a mighty flood of justice. And when I turned to that, I was saying, oh, my. Here was pursuing justice out of our love for God, who commanded us to be just. He wants us to be just. And he commanded us to be that and to do that. And also Psalms 58 and 11, it says, then at last everyone will say, there truly is a reward for those who live for God. Surely there's a God who judge and judges here on earth. You know, we have to be right before God and before people, because we can portray one thing, but God already know what's going on with our and within ourselves and our heart. So why not be right? That way justice will prevail. If you're doing what's right and you're leading a right life and you're not trying to lead somebody off on a tangent somewhere. And in Revelation, I pulled it up again in verse 20, 12 through 15, and I just give a little brief on it. Or better still, I just go ahead and turn to it, because it may be somebody may be listening, may not have their Bibles open. So rather, I'm going to go ahead and read it, turn my Bible to that chapter right now so I can read what thus said the Lord in Revelation, the 20th chapter. And the 12 through the 15th verse. And it was saying, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead was judged out of those things which was written in the book according to their works. Verse 13 said, and the sea gave up the dead which was in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they was judged every man according to their works. And verse 14 say, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And verse 15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. My. Here God is letting us know that God reward those who seek after justice. That word came up again, justice. You want to share something with that, Pastor Tavon?
Yeah, as you were talking, I was reminded of a situation that happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a car accident. This was, I think it was the end of 2007. It was Christmas Day.
Okay.
And, you know, by the time the police officer actually got to the scene, the ambulance had came for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in the ambulance, and the lady, she said, oh, you know, I'm going to meet you at the hospital, blah, 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 you know, to check out the story, blah, blah, blah. And so I said, okay, fine, great. So, you know, I go into the hospital, let them check me out and see if anything's wrong, if everything's all right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I make it there. They do all of that. No police lady. She never shows up. This is actually a highway patrol officer, not just a regular police
mm-hmm.
officer. But she never showed up. So that's lie number one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I get there, back to my house after everything, and she calls and she says, "Oh well, I'm gonna come to your house, and I'm gonna take your statement then." And I said, "Oh, okay." And so. That's lie number two. She never showed up. All right. We move on. She calls me again. She's like, oh, you know, I'm not having the time, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to come, you know, I really start off really early in the morning. So, you know, I don't really want to bother you that early. And I said, well, what time is that? And she said, sister. I said, well, okay, come at 6 then. She said, oh, okay, I'll be there next morning, like 6 something.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay. That's lie number 3. She never showed up again.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, this is a highway patrol officer, a police officer, a person that is supposedly upheld by the law. But this is already 3 lies that she already told me.
Uh-huh.
And she's supposed to be a person that tells the truth. See, this is the problem with people who, you know, we believe a person that is a police officer or a correctional officer or whatever officer of the law or a lawyer or a judge, as if they can't tell lies. They lie every day just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But we uphold them over other people as truth tellers when they're all lies. So that's the 3rd lie she told me now. She never came to my house.
Mm-hmm.
She called me again. She said, oh, I'm so sorry. I wasn't able to come. You know, can you come down to the station? I said, lady, I don't even have a car. Remember, it was totaled on the highway. Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, plus the highway patrol office is so far away from where my house is. There's no way I can actually get there. Mind you, now, I am hurt. Not hurt really, really bad, but, you know, hurt nonetheless. And I can't really just make it out there like that. Long story short, she never comes. She never makes it to my house. Now, in the process of her first coming on the scene, she takes my ID and my husband's ID, who was in the car during the accident, and was supposed to give it back to us. Well, she never came to meet me at the hospital nor at my house, so I never got my driver's license, and he never got his ID back. Okay? So now... She never shows up. You know, I go through the process with the lawyer and physical therapy and all the other great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, eventually everything gets settled, right? But in the process of everything getting settled, I receive a letter from the DMV saying that I owe the lady who hit my car and totaled my car $2,000-something from damage to her car. Okay? Also, in the process of that, I received the report from the highway patrol, okay? This is how justice is done in America, okay? I received a report that say I was in the wrong. I illegally changed lanes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a horrible driver, obviously, because I got over in her lane and messed up her car, but my car is the one that's totaled, right? Hey, so it says that I owe her money for her car.
Mm-hmm.
And not only do I owe her money, I owe money for tickets now because she put tickets on my car also.
Mm-hmm.
In the report, it says that I was the only person in the car, which is a total lie, right? Because I just told you my husband was with me, and she had not only my driver's license but his ID.
Mm-hmm.
So in her report, it says I was the only person in the car. In her report, it also says, so that's lie number 5.
Mm-hmm.
Lie number 6 says that I didn't have any insurance when she asked me specifically for my insurance information, and I gave it to her.
Mm-hmm.
So now all of these are tickets that they were giving me for not having insurance on my car, which I had insurance, for illegally changing lanes, which I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where did she get her story from? The only person who was left at the scene of the crime was the lady who actually hit my car.
Mm-hmm.
So now where did the false report come from? The lady who hit my car.
Yes.
Of course she's not going to tell the truth about what she did because that puts her in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So she lied. The police lady lied. And in the end, where's the justice? You know, that we claim happens in America. You know, it's all justice and, you know, we fighting, you know, the people in the war and all this mess, you know, that we tell people to brainwash them. Well, where was the justice in that situation?
That's right.
She lied her way through multiple times. She never came and took my side of the story.
Uh-huh.
She said there was only one person in the accident when there was two.
Uh-huh.
She said I didn't have insurance when I gave it to her. She kept my driver's license and my husband's ID.
Uh-huh.
But where was the justice? The woman who hit my car is actually requesting money from me.
And when you're supposed to be getting the money and getting a vehicle.
Exactly.
Oh.
But where's the darkness in there?
You know,
thanks be to God that I love God and that I know God.
Mm-hmm.
And God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that way I knew I didn't have to fight it in the natural. I just had to be obedient and patient and wait on my God to do what only he can do.
You know, I am glad that you said that, not knowing when I got this topic to do on justice, because there's so much justice not being done right now in so many situations, in so many households right now. And when I came on, I say, when others wrong us, we cry out for justice. And that's what you were doing in that situation. You was crying out for justice, wondering why, what was happening, what was taking so long. And that, and here, you wasn't even getting the justice.
Yes.
And, you know, that's why he tell us, do not cooperate with evil people. Evidently, in that situation, they was collaborating. They was cooperating with two people cooperating that wasn't right, was evil. And don't pass along false reports. Hey, not knowing I was going to have a guest come on talking about that this morning. Here, they had done passed false reports. From the original statement, they had false reports going. And here they were slandering your testimony. You know that's God. My, 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 my. You know, and as I was reading in John 14 and 6, say, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And as I was reading that, God didn't just create truth. He is truth itself. If we want to live for God, we must uphold truth at all costs, or we will become an accomplice to injustice. We have to know, it's no two ways about it. We have to know that God created truth, and we must uphold the truth at all costs, no matter what it looked like, what it seemed. Tell, be truthful. And you know, as I was reading on in the Word of God, what should I do when justice is abused? And in this situation, that's what was happening. And in Psalms 82 and 3, it was talking about upholding the right of the oppressor and the destitute. Here, you know, you got to speak out against injustice. We have sat back too long and just played patty cake with the enemy and not spoke up ourselves for justice. And, you know, also in Psalms 58, 6, and 7, it was talking about break off that fangs, O God. And let me go to that and read that, get a good understanding on that. For someone that may be tuning in on talking about justice today. Let me get that right quick on Psalms 58 and 6. On 58 and 6, it say, break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lion, O Lord. And verse 7 say, let them melt away as water, which run continuously when he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrow. Let them be as cut in pieces. My, my, you know, here you pray that God will intervene into your situation. No matter what it is, God will come to your rescue. And in Isaiah 56 and 1, it was saying, be just and fair to all, say the Lord, do what is right and good. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be fair and just to everybody. And he wants us to do what is right and good. He don't want us, you know it's right to do it, do it. Don't try to do evil for evil. Do what is good. God will reward you for that. And in Romans 13:7, I'm going to turn to that. We're still talking about justice today. Are you there, Carla?
I'm here.
Okay. On that last statement I was talking about from Isaiah 56:1, be just and fair. They wasn't being just and fair to you.
No, ma'am.
they really wasn't. And when you think about how much we go through here in America on things that's not.
A little more on that because I didn't give you the whole story.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. I didn't mean, I thought you had left the air. Okay.
No, ma'am. For someone else who may have been through this same situation. Now, because remember, I told you I didn't have any ID because she took it.
Uh huh.
Which was also my driver's license.
Uh huh.
So now, the towing company who towed my truck that was totaled, they would not give me my car because I didn't have any ID.
Uh huh.
Now, although I had my voter's registration card, I had my bank card that had my name on it, they would not give me my car to release it so that the insurance company could take pictures of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't have ID.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so they kept my truck longer until I actually had to go to the DMV, get another driver's license, come back. Now, mind you, the amount of money that they have is still accruing every day. The amount of money is adding up that I owe these people
mm-hmm.
for my car because they won't give me the car
mm-hmm.
because I don't have ID.
Mm-hmm.
So now they unjustly held my car knowing that it was my car until I actually went to the DMV to get an ID.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even after I did that, they said, oh, well, you know, you don't have the title to the truck. I said, well, you know what? You have my truck. Let me go in it and get the stuff out. Well, we can't do that because you don't have ID.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go back down to the Department of Transportation, get my information, have them send me another title, which takes time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're still adding up the amount of money that I owe them because mm-hmm. they still have my truck until I actually get the title. Now I have my driver's license. Oh, now they can give me my truck now, which I forget how much money it was, but it was in the hundreds. It was at least $500 to $600
mm-hmm.
that I ended up owing them because they still had my car and they wouldn't give it to me until I gave them all of that information.
Mm-hmm.
So now this was the second injustice that I dealt with because
mm-hmm.
I couldn't get my car. Actually, I didn't know who had the car because, remember, I told you, I was in the ambulance when the
mm-hmm.
actual police lady arrived.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know who they called and who had my truck until the people actually sent me a bill in the mail saying I owe them money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, who are you? I didn't even know you had my truck in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get any information from this highway patrol lady because she never came.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't do her job. Now, the insurance people wanted pictures of the truck, which was another reason the truck was still inside of the people who were holding it.
Mm-hmm.
The people never came. This is injustice number three. The insurance people never came when they were supposed to. I eventually went back to work. They were trying to get me to, oh, well, come out here this day and we're going to take the pictures. And, hey, listen, I can't take off time from my job so you can take pictures of this truck. I have to pay my rent. I have to eat. I have to, you know, take care of myself. If I'm taking more time off to get this done so that
mm-hmm.
you can come down here and do it,
mm-hmm.
who's feeding me in the process of this? Who's paying
mm-hmm.
my bills in the process of this? Not the insurance company because the case is not settled yet.
Right.
So eventually I paid all of that money to get the car.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up having to take pictures myself of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And sell the car because it's totaled. It was no good to a junkyard.
Mm-hmm.
For $100, $200, or whatever, and give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's three injustices that I experienced during this process of people being manipulative, lying, bearing false witness,
mm-hmm.
cheating, trying to get more money out of me, which they did. But, you know, the Bible tells us money that is gotten by a lying tongue
yes.
will not do you any good.
That's right. That's right. That is so true. So did
that may help somebody. That may help somebody who
yes,
may
that
have
is.
Went
I hope somebody listening
some of
today.
That I went through. Because it was like, you know what, in the whole process of that, you get people that go, well, where the hell was God? if you love God, if God loves you, then why mm-hmm. he allowed all that to happen?
Yeah.
And you know the answer to that? Mm. God is sovereign.
Yes.
It's not up to me to figure out why he does what he does or why he allows what he allows. But through everything, he was right there with me. Because Jesus
right.
said, I never leave you nor forsake you.
Ooh,
nor
yes.
did he. In the whole process of that, he was right there with me. Through all of the injustice that I was taking, he was
right there with me.
Right mm-hmm. by my side the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
He never went back on his promise. He
all
never
right.
left me, and he mm-hmm. never forsook me. And I didn't blame him for what happened. And I wasn't upset with him, and I wasn't mad. Well, God, why you let this highway patrol lady
mm-hmm.
lie like this? Why you let these people who know this is my car, who know that they unjustly dealing with me, well,
mm-hmm.
why you allow? No, that thought process never crossed my mind because it was not God who was doing these things to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was people who were doing these things to me. God upheld his end of the bargain. He never left me, and he never forsook me. He himself did not do those things. People did those things to me. People said those things against me. People
mm-hmm.
lied and bear false witness against me. God never did any of that stuff. So
yes.
I cannot blame him for stuff that people do.
That's right.
Because just like he allowed me all of those years before I ever came into the knowledge of him,
mm-hmm.
just like he allowed me to go astray all of those years,
mm-hmm.
that's the same way he allowed those people to do what they were doing to me.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't so much of what they were doing to me, but how I responded to them. That was
uh-huh.
the actual issue. Because, see, when we go through stuff here on this earth, it's not about the people that's persecuting us or afflicting us or
uh-huh.
doing harm or wrong to us. It's about what we do in that situation, what he placed inside of us. Is that what's going to come out, or is the flesh going to come out? Is
mm-hmm.
the word he put in us going to come out, or are we going to come out and let everybody know what we think and how we feel and how it's supposed to be? Or are we going to do what he said, be still? And know that I am God. I will repay. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will recompense. And understand, the Bible also tells you, even when God was talking to Abraham,
mm-hmm.
and y'all can go read this for yourself, you know, to everybody who is, you know, strict on Bible. Oh, no, where is that you're talking about? Go find it. You want to know what I'm talking about? Go get the Bible, flip
yes.
through them pages, and find it. Because I don't always need to tell you where something is. If you really want to know, you'll go find it.
Uh-huh.
So go find the story. Okay? When
yeah.
God was talking to Abraham,
mm-hmm.
after Abraham asked him, well, God, where's my seed? I don't have any seed.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, I'm going to give you seed so many that people can't count. Like the grains of the sand, they can't count that. Like
mm-hmm.
the stars in the sky, they can't count that. I'm going to give you that many children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God also gave him prophecy before he actually gave him the children. He said, your children will be afflicted.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be in bondage. They'll be in slavery for 430 years.
Yes.
This is what God told Abraham even before it ever happened. But what he also said, and this is for somebody out there, somebody need to get this, somebody who's done been betrayed, done wrong, there was no justice in your situation, just
mm-hmm.
like there was no justice in mine, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this next part of what God told Abraham is for all of us. He said, I will judge them who have dominion over you. Meaning the people who were going to put them in bondage, God was going to judge every action they took and every word they said and everything they did. So although you may be in a position or in a situation or may have gone through something where you've been unjustly done wrong, he said to Abraham, is what he's saying to all of us, I will judge those people who have done you wrong, and I will repay them for how they did you.
Yes.
I will repay.
Mm.
He said, there is not what is done in the dark will
come to the light.
He said, do not worry. God, I am not mocked, is what God is saying to
mm-hmm.
us. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So
yes.
don't feel bad because of what you went through, because they just don't know. The whooping that God is going to place on them is going to be so horrible that they're not going to understand whether they're coming or going. Like when he made those men blind that were trying to get those angels that were in Lot's house, when he made them blind, they had no idea what was coming for them. They had no idea. They figured they were going to get those men and they were going to have sex with them, and they had no idea what was about to happen to them. God made them blind so that they could not even see. So don't worry about what somebody did to you. Don't sit there and be down and depressed and clean dust yourself off.
That's right.
Like David did
when
his first child died. Dust, get up. Dust yourself off. Don't be mourning no more. Don't be fasting and doing all that no more. Get up. Dust yourself off and know that God is on the throne and that he will repay every person for every evil deed, for every evil word, for every lie they're telling, for every false report. He'll repay them. Because
yes,
what did Jesus say when he was here on this earth before he left and told those disciples? He told them, he said, every idle word that comes out of a man's mouth, oh, he's going to be judged for them words. Every action that you take in his body, you're going to be judged for them actions.
That's
you're going
right.
to stand and you're going to give an account for what you've done in this body.
Yes.
Believe it, because that day is coming for them.
Yes, it
as
is.
As well as the wrath of God, which we he's talking about his vengeance, is also coming for every word they speak, for every action they take. You know, the little sneaky, snimy, nice, nasty, conniving, scheming, manipulative, all that
all
stuff.
Right,
like you let them people do what they're doing. But see, God is watching. And let's be honest, whether they believe there's a God or not, there is. Whether they believe there's punishment coming or not, it will.
Yes,
but don't you
will.
Worry about what people are doing to you. And don't you worry about how they're treating you and how they're getting over and doing you wrong. Don't worry about that. Because God is watching. You just continue to do what? He said obedience is better than sacrifice. So you just be obedient. You just do what he told you to do. You get up and you keep praising him and you laugh in the face of defeat because you cannot be defeated. Greater than he that's in you than he that's in the world. Do you remember when Jesus got ready to be crucified? They thought they had defeated him. They thought that they had them taken him down, that he was going to be dead, that it was over, that the so-called fanatics, the Jesus followers, they were going to disperse.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? He went down in that grave.
Yeah.
He took the keys from hell.
Yes,
he came
back.
He was resurrected. He went to the Father. He was more powerful when he came back than when he first was here.
All right, all right.
He came back with so much power. And that's how you coming back. Your situation is a resurrection situation.
Yes.
Understand that you will be resurrected right before the very eyes of your enemy.
Yes, you will.
The very people who dig a ditch for you, you will be resurrected in their sight so that they cannot help but see. Look what the Lord has done.
That's done.
But then look.
That
look
is
what he
so
did.
True.
Look how those
so
people
true.
Were nice. They were honest. They still did what God told them to do. And look at every evil action that this person thought to do to them. Because, see, when you know who you are and
all
when
right.
you know who you
ah,
are,
that's
you
right.
stand firm on the word of God. And you be still, and you let God do what only God can do. And you watch God, who will exalt you above everybody who tried to hurt you.
That
he
is
said,
so
10,000 shall fall by your wayside, but it shall not come nigh your dwelling. Because no weapon that's formed against you can prosper. He didn't say they wouldn't try. He didn't say they wouldn't do things to try to hurt you or try to kill you or try to displease you. But he said it would not prosper. It would not accomplish what they wanted it to accomplish. It may have hurt you. It may have made you upset. But it will not have the effect they wanted it to have on you.
Because
you stand strong and firm, and you know that the rock that you built your foundation on is God.
That's right.
He's the way. He's the life. He's the resurrection. He's the truth. So you stand firm and know right now that God has your resurrection moment about to take place.
Yes. Yeah. That is, thank you so much, because as you were speaking, I had pulled up on Proverbs, just what you were saying, about Proverbs, the 20th chapter and the 22nd verse, says, say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Here, you know, don't say, I will get even. for this wrong. Don't even say that. Wait for the Lord to handle the matter. Because God said he'll be your judge. You know, just let it alone. He going to handle that for you. He don't repay evil with evil. Don't even seek revenge. Let them go on because that too shall pass, but they don't know it's coming up again.
That's it.
And they don't know which way it's coming. It may not hit them, could hit them and their family, somebody close to them. So we're not going to do evil for evil. God going to show us justice when we doing what's right in the sight of God and following God's commandment and doing what he say by the word of God. Truth will prevail. Truth going to outweigh a lie.
Yes,
the truth. Because people come to you with in sheep clothing.
Oh, yes, Lord.
See, as raven wolves. But God will set up a standard. God will come in and prevail.
Yes.
Everything somebody doing, trying to carry, you know how people come and try to tear you down? God told you to do thus so. And you doing what God said, but they're going to come in and try to tear down everything they think what God have told you to do. They're going to try to say everything to make people look at you in the wrong light. But God's truth and his commandment will overshadow, will prevail. Everything that they have tried to do to you, God going to turn it around for your good. Where they're trying to make it bad, God got it turned around already for your good. He said he will fight your battle. Just move out the way and let God handle everything. That's what you had to do. With your car accident, you had to step back. And with all the lies and the slander and the testimony that was given, you step back and let God fight that battle. Tell me, how did God, when it was all said and done, how did you come out with that? Because that was a testimony right there for somebody that may tune into this broadcast.
For somebody who thinks it's over, it's never over. Like the people say in the world, because, see, people like to think everything in the world is bad, it's horrible, it's wrong. No, no, no. Most of the stuff that we got in the world is because of God. Businesses, cars, clothes. I mean, all of this knowledge comes from God, even though we don't give him credit for his own work.
Mm-hmm.
But so don't think that everything that's in the world is bad. But like the people in the world say, it's not over until the fat lady sings. It's not over. It's never over. Even when a situation seems to be over and you go, well, God, where was the justice in that? Well, what happened here? Well, I thought I was supposed to be. Look, it's in God's perfect timing. God going to make sure that they get what's owed to them.
Oh.
Just like when you work on a job every day, you expect a paycheck because you've done the work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the wages of sin, the payment for sin, is death.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he will repay the person who has dealt unjustly with you. So this is what began to happen to me. Now, number one, they thought it was over, number one, from the car accident. The enemy thought it was over.
Mm-hmm.
But what the enemy meant for harm, God turned around and made it good.
Meant it for you good.
So I came out of that situation a brand new person. I was a baby birthed out of my Father God's womb at that day. On that very day I had that accident, I gained life. I counted everything that I had before that as dung, and I actually gained Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. So that's already victory number one.
All right.
I've already been received with the victory of conquering that situation because the enemy thought he had me down and out. But it's not over.
That's
until the fat lady I came out of that situation better than when I went in. I gained God. I gained Jesus. You can take everything I got right now today, but you can't have my God.
Yes.
So I came out of that victorious. I came out of that situation a winner.
Yes.
I gained eternal life. I gained the joy of the Father. I gained the love and the peace that comes only with God, not the peace that the world gives you, this momentary falsehood that's not true. I gained the true peace, which can only come from God the Father. Look at everything that I gained versus what I lost.
Mm-hmm.
I lost a car, but I gained my Father God.
Ah. Ooh, Jesus. You know, I thank God for this topic today, because as you were talking, and the Lord was bringing to my remembrance on a trial I had to go through to give a testimony today, not only today, but I had to go through something a little while back on something that was for my son and myself. And someone went in on, you know, as I was saying earlier, with false reports, where they did paperwork and said that there was a sole heir. I just give it to my deceased husband. He had one sister, and she said that when he got sick, and she said that she was his only heir. You know, he didn't have no family. His oldest child passed away. Then he had another child was disabled. And this might help somebody that may be tuning in today. And all the paperwork, going back and forth to the hospital, and they filled out paperwork and said that he didn't have any children, he didn't have no living relatives but her. And when he passed away, I got papers from the VA saying, you know, I was getting this and that and my son and all this stuff because everything, he was in the military. But that thing, they kept saying, I need this form, I need that form. I'm running back and forth, trying to figure, why am I going through all this here? What seemed to be the problem? And it was like I had a vision where he was saying, them papers they signed, they lied. And I kept saying, papers? What papers? Come to find out, they had filled out papers, the system. He died in December. She died. Like you say, the truth will prevail. And she died in March, the very next year. But here she had put with the doctors and everybody else that, and we were legally married, that he didn't have any relatives. He didn't have this. She was his sole survivor. And come to find out, she got everything. And we're sitting up here waiting for the checks to come in the mail. And we couldn't figure out what was going on. And when it all boiled down to it, she got everything, but it was a lie. Here, everything he had, that he had in his possession, in his attached case, she kept it. Didn't come up with no proof of everything, children, legal, married, well, everything. Here we was left out in the cold, but God showed me something from that. God prevailed, baby. God opened so many other doors that they thought they was hurting me. But look, after you did all that, you didn't stay here to enjoy one penny. He died in December. She died in March.
Amen.
So that's what? That's a span of what, 3 months? Of each other death. And, you know, I kept questioning that. Wasn't questioning God, but questioning, well, now, where was the justice system? How did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
How did they let this happen? Because I didn't know anything about it until after the fact. I didn't even know this was going on. So I'm telling people that's listening today, the truth of God will prevail. No matter what somebody is trying to do to undermine you, when you know your ducks is lined up right, that you are doing what God say do, and someone is coming out saying something totally different, and you got all your paperwork, just like you had to go through with that car accident, everything that you needed, they took from you to show that you didn't have no proof of who you was or what happened. In the end, God prevailed. He had to birth something with you going through that out of you. He had to birth through me a ministry that I'm doing right now to let me know. He had to bring me to the forefront on the midst of what I went through. He did that to where I could go back and help somebody else. To explain to them how things can happen to you with all your paperwork, with all your ducks lined in one row, how the enemy will come in and try to destroy what God has set up. But they don't realize you cannot. He may come in like this, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Here, it may foam, but it won't prosper. Here, it had foam, but at the end, she didn't prosper.
That's it.
So somebody that's listening to this program today, I'm hoping you really getting this from the Word of God and for two testimonies to tell you how justice can prevail through the Word of God, even when people lie on you. Give it to God. Don't try to do evil for evil. You continue on doing what's good. Some of you all that's in churches, people have lied on you. Some of you that's on your job, people have lied on you. Some of your family members, they have lied on you. But when you know you're doing what God say do, justice will prevail.
Yeah.
You know, when others wrong us, we cry out for justice. We cry out to God for justice. But when we wrong God, we cry out for mercy.
Amen.
So remember that God is merciful.
Yes, he is.
You know, don't repay evil with evil. And don't even seek revenge. Give it to your Heavenly Father, because he is the one in the end that's going to look at every situation. And it's written down in the Word. In Revelation, when we read it, it's written down in the Word of God that everything that's been done here in this body, and it's not right, it's in the book. And when he starts reading the book, we can't go back and say, oh, no, Lord, I didn't do that on that such and such a day. Oh, no, uh-uh. We got to give an account to everything we do to somebody that's not right.
That's right.
And when we unjustly do something to somebody, payday is coming. And you don't know how long, how soon, and when. So we need to be doing what's right. I want to thank my caller. Do you have something else you want to say? Because we have 8 minutes yet to talk on justice. Ooh, I just thank God, because you just, girl, when you started talking, and don't mean to just say literally say girl, but pastor, when you started talking, that just God just started showing some injustice that had been done to me and my son and grandchildren, you know. But I didn't try to go back and do evil for evil. I gave it to God. I said, God, you can work with this situation more than I can. You know exactly what to do with this here.
That's it.
And, you know, Jesus sets a new standard for mercy when we go to God for mercy. You know, in Matthew 5:43-45, I just give it briefly. He said, you have heard that the law of Moses say, love your neighbor and hate your enemies, but I say love your enemies. That's what he want us to do. He want us to love them, not hate them. And we're still talking on justice this morning. And justice punish evil crimes and wrongdoing. Mercy forgives them. One of the hardest things we can do is forgive someone who has wronged us. But it is only through experience forgiveness that one can clearly see God's great gift of salvation.
Amen.
Your mercy may be just what someone needs to be ushered into God's kingdom. And today, the mercy of God may be just what you need to be ushered into God's kingdom. No matter what they're doing to you this day, forgive them. They didn't know what they was doing. They thought they knew what they were doing, but they didn't know what they were. If they truly, truly knew what they were doing, they wouldn't have did no injustice to you.
That's right.
But since they don't know what they was doing, you forgive them. You pray for them. Give them up to God. Don't do no evil for evil. Do all the good you can.
Amen.
Yeah. Jesus.
Amen. Ooh. I tell you, are you speaking nothing but the truth? And all of the truth, because it is God. What we're speaking about is God and his character, his real nature. And when we forgive other people, we're forgiving them because we've been forgiven. We're not forgiving them just because they deserve it. Because if you look back, we didn't deserve his forgiveness. We didn't deserve his love. We didn't deserve his mercy. We didn't deserve his sacrifice that he made with his son to make him a sacrificial love. We didn't deserve none of that. So if we can't forgive, how can he forgive us then? We want
all
him to
right.
forgive us of all of our sins, of all of our wrongdoing, of all of our transgressions. We want him to forgive all of that stuff about us. But it's mighty funny that when he gives us the power,
Uh-huh.
We don't want to give it up. We don't want to forgive. No, 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 no. They did me wrong. Yeah, we did God wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't right what they did to me. It wasn't right what you did to somebody else either, because we can all go back in our closet and find
That's
some
right.
wrong that we did to somebody else.
That's right.
Just like somebody else did wrong to us. And that's what he's talking about. Be merciful as I'm merciful.
Mm-hmm.
Be holy as I'm holy. God looking for people who want to be like him.
That's right. That is so true.
That's what he's looking for. He's looking for people who want to be just like their daddy, you know, just like
mm-hmm.
an earthly father and mother and daughter and son. They want to be just like their parents. That's why we put on the parents' shoes and clothes as children. That's why
mm-hmm.
we dress up in mommy's hat or daddy's shoes or his
mm-hmm.
coat. That's why we do those things, because we want to be just like our mama,
yeah.
just like our daddy. And that's what God is looking for in us. He said, if I'm merciful, then you have to be merciful.
That's so
if
true.
If I'm holy, you need to be holy. If I'm loving, you need to be loving. If I'm a giver, you need to be a giver. You can't be a follower of me and not be like me, is what
that's
he's
right.
saying. So when he says, don't do anything to anybody that does you something wrong, he's testing you to see if he can bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody needs to hear that.
That's
when somebody
right.
did something wrong to you, or where somebody is doing something wrong to you, he's testing you to see if he can bless you. Because, see,
right.
people would like you to think that God is all harsh and horrible and don't want to do nothing. No. God is a blesser. That's what
mm-hmm.
God is. He
yes,
is in the blessing business, and he wants to bless our socks off. That's what he
yes.
wants to do.
Yes,
but he has
wonder.
To test us first to
That's
see
right.
if he can actually give us what he wants to give us. So in that instance, if you let the enemy have victory over you because you figured, oh, I'm going to handle this myself, you just stole the blessing from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Hear that. Satan didn't steal it from you, because Satan can't make you do anything.
That's right.
He can only give you a suggestion. He can give you some advice,
mm-hmm.
some ungodly counsel. That's what Satan can give you, ungodly counsel. But it was your choice
mm-hmm.
to take action and to not do what God said. Remember, that's how Adam and Eve got in trouble. What did Satan say? Well, did God tell you to do this? Yeah, he said don't do that. Oh, well, he told you that because he don't want you to get this.
Mm-hmm.
See how we get all out of whack just
mm-hmm.
that quick.
That's
God
right.
said, be still and know that I'm God. God
right.
said, don't repay evil for evil. God said, vengeance is mine. And what do we do? I'm going to rectify this situation right now. You
mm-hmm.
just stole the blessing from yourself.
That's right.
Because he meant to bless you after you passed the test, but the problem was you didn't pass the test.
That's right. And you got to take that test all over again.
That's it.
Ah!
See, every test that God give us is not a pass and fail test. Every
mm-hmm.
test. Understand that every test is not a pass and fail test,
mm-hmm.
but there are some tests which are pass and fail.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go through a situation when somebody does something wrong to you, but you still decide to be like God and you be merciful to them and you be loving to them and you pray for them and you do and you say what Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. They don't know what they're doing.
That's
they think
right.
they know what they're doing, but they don't really know.
They don't know.
You know,
they
you
don't
remember
know.
When a baby puts their hand in the socket, the baby knows that I'm putting my hand in something, but they don't
mm-hmm.
know the consequences.
The danger of it.
They don't know.
Right.
They don't know what's getting ready to happen to them. They're
uh-huh.
like a lamb led to the slaughter. You don't know you're getting ready to die. You think you're going on some journey or something.
Mm-hmm.
Another walk around the hill, but you're going to die.
That is so
true. So that's what people really need to get out of that situation right there. Understand that if you rob God of his opportunity to stand up big in your life, he will not bless you because you're robbing God by taking the action yourself and not trusting in him. Because, see, this is a trust issue. Somebody needs
yes.
to hear this today. This is a trust issue.
Yes.
If you know that God is God, if you know that God is faithful, if you know that God will do whatever he told you he will do, then what that means is you'll bow down in that situation and go, I'm going to wait for you, Daddy, to handle that.
That's
I'm not
right.
going to take no action myself because I trust you.
Mm-hmm.
I trust that you will do what you told me you would do. I trust that you said you'd do it for Abraham, you did it for Abraham. You said
That's
you'd
right.
do it for Rahab, you did it for Rahab. You said you'd do it for, let's see, Noah, you did it for Noah. You said you'd do it for Job, you did it for Job. You did for them what you said you would do. And because I know your Bible says you're no respecter of persons, then that means what you did for them, you'll do for me. So all I got to do is do what they did. Wait.
That's right. That's right.
And watch you
Ooh,
work.
Yes, Lord. Ooh, this has been an exciting topic. We got 30 seconds. I thank God for you coming on, Pastor Varis, and thank you so much for everything that you share with me and the audience today. I hope someone that tune into this broadcast, whether it's morning, noon, or night, that they will understand something a little bit more about justice than they did before, because it really will help them. And so until next week, we're going to say bye-bye, and please tune in for Joy and Peace Outreach. Bye-bye.